as we are joined by Ian Harrison from AP. Ian, the Raptors, without DeMar DeRozan, a lot of people thought they'd take a little bit of a dip, and they just continued to trudge on without their second-best player.
It's quite impressive. You know, I mean, at the start of the season, that was one of the things that stood out for me. You know, you look back to last year and how fortunate this team was with injuries. I think combined, their starting five post-Rudy Gay trade missed a combined 13 games to injury. Now, you know, DeMar DeRozan has already missed 13, I think, since suffering that torn tendon in his groin. And yet the Raptors, I believe, something like 9-4 without him. It's just really remarkable to see the success that they've had. You know, you can't say enough about the way that the bench has stepped up. Lou Williams has just been arguably the acquisition of the offseason and around the NBA, the way he's contributed to this Raptors team.
Portland, just as good as the Raptors, right? They're 25-7. The Raptors are 24-7. Then they've got Golden State, who's 24-5, with the best winning percentage in the NBA. What are they playing them on Friday night? So this tough road trip continues. I guess let's talk about the matchup tonight against Portland. What's the biggest challenge for the Raptors against Portland?
Well, this is one of the best defensive teams in the NBA. So you know, it's really kind of a sort of contrast in styles, in a sense, if you will. You know, the Raptors have been a very high-scoring team by and large. Portland has been turned into a bit of a lockdown defensive team. So, you know, and I think that, you know, on balance right now, Portland and Golden State, you know, clearly the two best teams in the league so far. I mean, you know, it's still a long ways to go to shake things out, but you know, you'd have to say that these two next games have put Toronto against, you know, probably the two best teams in the league this season so far. But yeah, you know, breaking down that tough Portland defense is going to be a real challenge for Toronto tonight. Still not clear whether LaMarcus Aldridge, who's been suffering from a bit of an infection, will be able to play for the Blazers. But Toronto will certainly be happy to not see him in action tonight.
Ian Harrison joins us from the Associated Press. The Raptors are in Portland to take on the Trail Blazers tonight. Ian, I want to get your thoughts on Jonas Valanciunas. He was drafted in 2011. Took a couple years to maybe roll into form, but he seems to be rolling now. What have you thought of the big European center for the Raptors?
Yeah, you know, there has been some sort of up and down moments still this season, and you know, obviously, you know, it does take a long time to sort of serve that apprenticeship as an NBA big man. You know, he stayed over in Lithuania for a year before coming over here, obviously. You know, and some work put in the summers, most recently this summer, some work with Hakeem Olajuwon and various things. You know, there are still games where, you know, Valanciunas doesn't quite deliver what you might expect from a player fitting his draft position. But then, you know, the performance he put in against the Clippers on the weekend was excellent, a double-double. You know, there were multiple instances where he kind of beat the defense to sort of roll to the rim for easy baskets. You know, we've seen games throughout the season where Dwayne Casey has decided that Valanciunas is not the guy he wants on the floor down the stretch in the fourth quarter. I think that's kind of the, you know, probably the sort of the next big step for him is to kind of really refine his defensive chops to a point that he is a reliable part of the team at that stretch of a, you know, of a key part in the game. I think that's probably what Toronto really hopes that he can develop into, you know, one of those protectors of the paint and protectors of the rim, that's forced to be reckoned with inside. And you know, that I've long maintained that you know, learning to become a really successful NBA big man is probably the most difficult thing to do in basketball. And so, you know, you have to have a little bit of patience for that. It is going to take multiple years with a player, a young player, especially a European player who, you know, has come up in something of a different developmental system. That's not to knock the European game in any way. It's just that, you know, things are slightly different here. There's going to be a little bit of a learning curve, obviously. There's also the language barrier that he had to overcome initially. So, you know, a little bit extra patience required in assessing Jonas Valanciunas, but certainly big steps forward in recent games for sure.
Ian Harrison from the Associated Press joins us. You mentioned Lou Williams. He joined the Raptors in the offseason. He's had a great start to the 2014-2015 campaign. What do you think Lou Williams does best? What does he bring to this Raptor team?
Probably the ability to get to the line or just get any shot off he wants, it seems. But, you know, I mean, Doug Smith, the esteemed beat writer for the Toronto Star, made a crack on Twitter a couple of weeks ago saying, you know, Lou Williams could draw contact for a foul walking down to Starbucks to get a coffee. And yeah, that's probably true. I think he wouldn't even spill any of his latte as he got the shot off, probably made it and then sank the free throw as well. But the way he draws contact and draws fouls is really remarkable. And, you know, I mean, you think what the acquisition cost for him was, which is basically the expiring contract of John Solomon's and the Raptors, you know, also getting the much-loved Bebe Nogueira in that deal. But, you know, obviously Williams had hit a bit of a lull. He had that knee injury, and his numbers slipped quite drastically. People weren't sure if he was going to be able to be the same player again. But, you know, he's clearly healthy now. And, you know, given the kind of scoring punch that he's been able to deliver, you know, that's something that the Raptors have not had. And it's invaluable to be able to turn to your bench and just think, you know, we could get 30 points tonight out of this player. And there, you know, we saw that in Denver the other night. We saw it in Cleveland, a big win in Cleveland for the Raptors earlier this season, where Williams was the leading scorer. It was really remarkable to see the kind of scoring punch that he's been able to bring off the bench for this team.
You know what? They're scoring, 110 points. Usually you score that, you're rolling it. And they have continued to do it. And Kyle Lowry, of course, a top five in assists, top 20 in points per game. He's doing everything on the floor for the Raptors. But you talked about their bench, and I know Mark just brought up Williams and Valanciunas. But who's the guy? Has there been one guy in DeMar DeRozan's spot who you think maybe has overachieved? And when DeRozan comes back, who's the guy who's going to have to kind of take a back seat suddenly?
I'm not sure who has overachieved. You know, there's, we've seen different guys in the starting lineup. You know, there were James Johnson got a shot. Landry Fields got a shot before his concussion. In terms of who's going to have to take a back seat, you know, it's not. I would imagine that the probably, you know, you might see a little bit less maybe of Johnson. Just, you know, he got the few of those starters minutes there. I mean, you know, having said that, though, you know, I think that's kind of the thing with this team is that, you know, there is no sort of backseat mentality, and that's really what's helped their success so much is that, you know, there's no sense of, you know, I deserve this, or I'm clearly a starter, whatever. They're all very, very comfortable and confident in what they are, or their roles. And, you know, I don't think there's sort of any kind of controversy. Not that you were suggesting that necessarily, but, you know, it's that sort of leads to that sort of seamless and well-oiled machine, if you will, where, you know, a player moving in and out of the lineup or coming back from injury doesn't ruffle any feathers, doesn't rock the boat in any way. You know, they just sort of keeps ticking over you know, when DeRozan gets back, that's what I expect to see.
Patrick Patterson right now is just shooting the lights out from three-point range. You're right, he's at 46%. And, you know, he's obviously that number. I don't know if he can keep that up. Have you talked to him? Has he done anything to improve his outside shooting?
It's something that he believes in very strongly. He made a shot. I'm trying to remember which game it was now. He made a key shot late in a home game a couple of weeks ago, and I remember talking to him after that game, you know, and sort of asking how much do you relish those opportunities to get the ball in a late game situation, because yeah, you know, you look at this roster and you would think, you know, that he's not necessarily your first option. You'd think Lowry, maybe Williams, the guy they've used in isolation plays a lot in sort of short clock situations. But yeah, for a big man, Patterson is an excellent 3-point shooter, and he talked about that. He talked, you know, when I asked him that question, that was one of the things he said, I want to be known for my 3-point shooting. And then clearly he's making a name for himself this season. And yeah, you know, it's such a skill to have a big guy like that. You know, that was sort of the dream back in the day for when Andrea Bargnani was here, that kind of inside-outside skill, you know, the big man who can spot up at the 3-point line and make shots. But Patrick Patterson, you know, came over in the Rudy Gay trade and has been a real asset for three-point range for this Raptors team, for sure.
Ian Harrison from the Associated Press. One more for you, Ian. In the second half of the season last year, the Raptors rattled off 34 wins. So far in the first half of this year, they have 24. That means 58 wins in the calendar year of 2014. I know there's a lot of stuff that happened off the court this year, but are the Toronto Raptors one of the biggest on-court surprises of 2014?
I think they are. You know, working for the Associated Press, obviously, more often than not, the attention is on the American team because that's where the market is, you know, that's where the interest is. And one thing I've noticed in sort of, you know, casual conversations with my editors and the kind of stories that they're looking for from me is that they want a lot more about this Raptors team, and there's a lot more interest and attention being focused on them after their playoff appearance last year, somewhat surprising playoff appearance, the way they pushed Brooklyn in the first round. There was a lot of interest in this team heading into training camp this year. You know, DeMar DeRozan's all-star status made headlines for this team. Lowry becoming such a big player here. The other thing that immediately comes to mind is the tweet from Bill Simmons, who went to watch the Raptors in person for the first time when they beat the Clippers in L.A. last weekend, and you know him talking about what a fun team this is. And it's the Raptors have kind of struggled for such a long time in their 20-year existence as kind of this, you know, northern curiosity. You know, obviously they're not Canadian players or anything, but you know they tend to get overlooked. They were a bad team for a very long time. You know, they've still never been a deep playoff team, with the exception of the 1 year they went to the second round, took Philly to 7 games. That's that's almost ancient history now. But yeah, if they can make noise in the playoffs this year, with the All-Star game on the horizon for this team, it's really sort of shaping up into a big moment, for the Raptors to kind of turn into something that they've never been before. And it's quite exciting to see that happen. You know, the struggles of the Toronto sports scene, all the teams here struggling to do anything meaningful, you never would have expected the Raptors to become a sort of darling team, and all of a sudden they've shot into that role and really really making waves. It's quite exciting.
It is exciting for a lot of basketball fans, especially with the emergence of so many great young Canadian players. It'll be fun to watch, Ian. I appreciate your time. Enjoy the new year.
Thanks very much, guys. Same to you.